Good evening, everybody. Are you all well this evening? Great day was had by all. Yes, no, maybe some, maybe this afternoon, not this morning, but anyway. No, I'm teasing. Oh, it's a privilege to be in Canada. I just want to first of all say thank you. This is a privilege to be able to bring the word and preach this evening, or whatever I'm going to do. I really mean it's a privilege. I just want to thank Ty for the privilege of it. I never want to take this for granted in any form or any shape. And just to say, Michelle says hi, my wife. Thank you. She's well. She really is. Sorry she couldn't be here. The young girl we adopted when she was 11, she's now 22, or nearly 23. She got married last year, October, and she had a baby this year, October. She was not slow. But she had a C-section, so that was 3 weeks ago. So Michelle's just been helping out with her. Amen. God is good, is he not? Always, always. What I'm going to try and do this evening is just a couple of prophetic ramblings. I pray it's not ramblings. But just really trying to pick up in God what God has been saying to us this week. Not only through the word, but just through the words that came. And that song, I wonder if you could just put the beginning of that song up. And this is where it started for me last night. We were singing a song, and I think it was the first song we sang. And that's the verse that gripped my heart. I mean, I've sung the song many times. I've heard a sound coming on the wind, changing hearts and minds, and healing brokenness. Just the sense many have had is what those words say. I hear a sound of something coming. I know the Lord has come. I know the Lord is finished. I understand that. But God is wanting us to walk in the fullness of all that he did at the cross. Every part of it. The fullness. And it's a journey. It's a process. And there are periods in our life where God propels us into the next season. And I feel that's what it is. There's many words that came. There was a word that came last night, something about a swimming pool. And that the swimming pool was a certain, the water had left a black mark on the side. And that's where we had lived, or that's what we've been comfortable with. And God is saying, no, I want to go past that. There's a word that came through Ken. Great name, Ken. That Ken. About something, what was it again, Ken? Expanded horizons, that God wants to expand our horizons. And so it's along those lines I just want to be able to speak in tonight and trust God is going to do something in our hearts to take us to the place that he wants to take us, to move us into the next season, whatever it is for you, whether it be individually, corporately, whatever it is, for God to take us, for us to walk into it. Some water, some plant, but God gives the growth. We don't do it. God does it. But we position ourselves so God can do it in us. Are you with me? We co-labor with him. We cooperate with him. He's the Lord. But we ready ourselves. He does it. It's not us trying hard to do it. He does it. But let's be prepared so that he can do it in and through us. Amen. You with me? So, I really believe that this week there's been two things I believe personally that need to happen in our lives for us to walk into the fullness of all God has for us. It's truth encounters and power encounters. The truth needs to come. When you know the truth will set you free. It's very key that at times we need God to come and touch our lives afresh and anew. Because what we did in this season, for what God has for us in this season, something needs to adjust or something needs to change. We're not going to walk into the fullness if we just have what God gave us for this season. God equips us for the next season. You with me? And sometimes it requires a fresh touch from God. Something fresh. We can't keep living on stale oil. Amen. And I'm trusting for that to happen tonight to a number of folk. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please. It's a wonderful chapter, Hebrews 11. I try and read it a couple of times a year. It's one of my favorite chapters, the chapter on faith. And last night, and I might repeat some of the stuff that Ty said last night, but I make no apology for that. I honestly make no apology for that. Paul kept saying, I remind you of this, I remind you of that, I remind you of this. Hebrews 11. This is a scripture during worship that I feel God just dropped in my heart. So that's why I didn't come prepared for this, but I got to go with what I feel. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded the disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch. The firstborn of Israel. But just a couple of things out of that scripture. The first thing that struck me is by faith. Faith is key, people. Faith is key for our walk. So you can see I'm all old school, torn. I went and wrote it. This is what happens by faith. By faith we are redeemed. By faith we are saved. By faith we are made righteous. By faith we receive the promises of God, or we inherit the promises of God. By faith we are strengthened. By faith we are justified. By faith we have peace with God. We receive the gifts of God by faith. We're mutually encouraged by each other's faith. We live by faith. We receive our inheritance by faith. Every spiritual blessing is given by faith. The universe was formed by faith at God's command. Sacrifices were made by faith. The ark was built by faith. People moved cities and countries by faith. Children were conceived by faith. They offered or let things go by faith. The dead are raised by faith. The sick are healed by faith. The blind see by faith. Demons flee by faith. People worship by faith because of their faith. They persevere because of their faith. They passed through the Red Sea by their faith. Walls came down by faith. Kingdoms were conquered by faith. Justice was administered by faith. The mouths of lions were shut by faith. People walked through fire by faith. Weaknesses turned to strength by our faith. Battles are won by faith. People endured torture because of their faith. People refused the pleasure of sin because of their faith. People endured prison and were chained because of their faith. People walked into the dreams and the promises of God by the faith. And by faith we know we are loved, healed, forgiven, and accepted. Faith is important. Yes. Amen. So, it's one of the words the Bible describes. Faith, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is be sure of what I hope for and certain of what I do not see. Some translations say, now, faith is the evidence or the substance of things I hope for, the evidence of what I do not see. So, faith is a substance. Faith is evidence. It's not just, there's substance to faith. There's evidence to faith. Amen. How does faith work? Faith, very simply, folk, is God initiates something first. Man does not initiate it. God initiates. God reveals. God speaks. God brings revelation. There's a divine initiation by God. Man responds, and when we do that, God responds. That's faith. It starts in the heart of God. It doesn't start with man. Hello? Amen. It does. That's the way it goes. That's the way it is. So true faith is the response of a human being to the initiative of God in making himself known. And there's a continual ongoingness about that. Faith is never about self-fulfilling. It's about Jesus. It's about what he's doing and about what he has said. It's never self-fulfilling. Amen. Faith grows or is established out of the Word. So it's not so much about praying for faith. Faith comes out of the Word, people. It's a word problem. That's what it basically boils down to. Because when the Word prevails over my thinking process, faith is the result. That's it breeds, it does something inside of me. When I put the Word first, when I make the Word the final authority, whatever the Word says I am, I am. Just as Tyron was saying this evening. You with me? And as I dwell on that and I allow that to take hold of me, there's an inward witness that grows and something's established when that Word prevails over my conscience and faith arises within me. I think of blind Bartimaeus, one of my awesome, my little favorite things. I think some of you heard me tell the story. That man was blind. The Bible says he was born blind. And when that incident happened, it was 2.5 years into the ministry of Jesus. And the Bible says when Jesus walked through that city, he has a blind man. He can't see. He started to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy." Why? Because for 2.5 years, he heard about this man called Jesus and what he did. For 2.5 years, you heard about he touched the blind to see. Lepers were healed. He fed 5,000. Whatever it is. And for 2.5 years, he thought about that deep inside of him. And something was born with him. Probably said, if only I can see Jesus. If only I can just. And then Jesus walks through his city. And the Bible actually says he's leaving the city. And he probably heard the commotion because the crowd was following. He called one. What's happening? Oh, Jesus has walked by. What would you do? Well, hallelujah. The Bible says he started to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." His friends told him to be quiet. He shouted louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus called him. And it's a strange thing in a sense what Jesus asked him. Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" He's blind. He says, "I want to see." My question to you and to me is, what are you trusting God for? What has God spoken to you about? What promises has he given you? What are you putting your faith out for? Because folk, if we're not walking this life by faith, circumstances push us around. The world pushes us around. Things come our way. Life comes at us. And it's that which God has put within us and that which determines our walk, not what we see, but by what God has put inside. Amen. That's why faith is so important. It truly is. A little bit more things about faith. Faith is only possible for the person who lives and grasps something out of the spirit realm. It is a spiritual sense. It touches and reaches things beyond the natural sense, which the natural sense cannot lay hold of. That's why you walk by faith and not by sight. So what is the evidence, the substance of faith? This is the evidence of faith. His word, who he is, his nature and his character. This is the substance. This is the evidence of faith. And so as I say to people, you've got to take this and allow God to go yum, 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 and put it inside you. And live by it. Amen. Live by the conviction of this. Then we walk by faith and not by sight. You want to use peanut butter, use peanut butter, whatever you want to use, but get it inside you. Get it inside you. Faith always attaches itself to what God has said, promised, or revealed. Faith always attaches itself to what God has said, promised, or revealed. That's how we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith takes us behind the visible to the invisible and is based upon the eternal, invisible truths and realities of God and His Word. God's Word or God's voice must be received and laid up in our hearts for faith to spring forth. So, let me ask you a question. Sorry, I'm just going to use Louise. Do you believe God heals? Why? All right, you've seen him do it. You've done okay. Why else? It's good because of the word. Not because your dad says so. Over there, sorry. There. Because it's in his word. That's what we've got to get in, folk. You with me? It's very key. Very key. It's by faith. That's one over. By faith. Nothing in Moses' visible circumstances at this point could give him any hope or encouragement. But in spite of all that was against him, he endured because he was able to see the unseen by faith. Hallelujah. So that's the first point, by faith. Second point out of that, and I think it's up there, the word that struck me out of that was, by faith knows when you had grown up. That's the second word. I feel like God wants some of us to grow up before we grow up, before we grow old. I feel like God wants to bring some maturity to some of our lives. He wants mature sons and daughters. Are you with me? To be able to carry the weight, the weightiness, and it's not a heaviness, because the yoke of the Lord is light, is easy. But he wants us to be able to carry something of the weightiness of who he is in our lives. But it takes responsibility. It takes ownership. You with me? I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. But I really feel like God is just wanting us to grow up. Just mature us a little bit. The third word that struck me was, had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be known. He refused to accept what the world wanted to put on him. He refused to accept what others were trying to put on him. Folk, we have to refuse to receive what the world tells us, or what the world wants to put on us, or what the world calls us. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. That's where we get our identity. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. Please let this get into your hearts. Romans 8, Galatians 4 says this. All those that are sons are led by the Spirit. Romans 4, I think it's 14, somewhere around about there. And he said, we receive the spirit of sonship. And by the spirit of sonship in our hearts, we cry, Abba, Father. We don't cry salvation, as much as it is a great salvation. Hebrews 2 says it's a great salvation. But we cry, Abba, Father. We become sons and daughters. There's a vast difference between salvation and sonship. Vast difference. When I'm saved, I just want to go to heaven. No, we're sons and daughters to reflect our Father in heaven. That's what we're called to do, reflect who he is. Amen. In Galatians 4 says we have the full rights of sonship. The full rights. You can go read it. Galatians 4, 4. So he hasn't turned there. It's 4, 5, 6, and 7. That we, because we are sons, we have the inheritance given back to us and we have the full rights of sons and daughters. What are some of the full rights of sons and daughters? You have the privilege of his voice. You have the privilege of his care. You have the privilege of sitting at his table anytime you like, and the table is always full. Hallelujah. You know, when my kids come to visit me, even though they're married, you know what they do? I don't know what happens in your house. I can be sitting in the lounge. They walk in, it's, hi, Dad. Straight to the fridge, opens the fridge. What's to eat? Why do they do that? Because they're my children, sons and daughters. They just go straight to the fridge. They don't even ask. And their mom is saying, hang on, that's for our supper tonight. But Clayton's already into it. You with me? You have the full right to go to your father's table 24/7. And it's always full. Always full. Folk, you're a son in the heart, first and foremost. When I say son, son, or daughter, stay a son in the heart. And if you stay a son in the heart, you will produce the fruits of sonship without having to try. It'll just come out of you. You're a son. You're a born again believer. You're a son of the Most High. That's why you got born again. Because your old is gone. Your old was crucified. So don't let the old give you your identity. Don't let the world give you. Refuse to take that up again. I'm encouraging you. Refuse to take it up. I personally believe one of the big areas that God wants to renew is this. This needs to change. You know the people of Israel, they came out of Egypt and they kept wanting to go back. They were free, but in their minds they were not free. So God had to wait for that whole generation to pass away and for a new generation that hadn't experienced Egypt and they thought differently. They entered in. Open your Bibles to Ephesians quickly if you can. And then we'll go back to this. This is what helps me. Gentiles eat pork chops 3 times. Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians. Ephesians chapter 2. This is who you and I are. Ephesians chapter 1 is who we are, our position and our possessions in Christ. Chapter 2 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. Hello? Anybody been there? We all lived dead one time, all of us, and following his desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we by our nature objects to wrath. Listen to the next verse. But because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy. How rich is God? How rich is God? Oh, but he's rich in mercy. The Bible tells us he's rich in his grace and he's rich in love. God is rich in mercy. What did he do? He made us alive with Christ by grace. Verse 6 says, and he raised us up with Christ with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And his Bible says, and we were seated with him in heavenly realms. So he made us alive, he raised us up, and he seated us within heaven. And verse 10 says, and we are his workmanship to do good works. That's who we are, people. We are not our old. This was written to your new nature. This is not written to the crucified nature. This is written to the nature of Jesus that's within you and I. This is written to the life that was breathed in you and I. That's what this is written to. That's why we're going to live from that place and not the old. It's been killed. It's been crucified. It's been put to dead. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been made alive, raised up, seated, and he has good works for us. Please refuse to allow the world to model you, or your past to model you, or your mess-ups to model you. Refuse it. The next word that struck me, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, is he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. I just felt God say, we have to be with his people. I felt to encourage you, get involved. Get involved with the people of God. Get involved with those he's put with you. I'm not saying you're not involved. But if you're not, encourage you to get involved because we need one another. We desperately need one another. Amen. All right. The next word I want to spend a lot of time on it is... where it says, and to be mistreated rather with the people of God, rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, he regarded the grace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. There's a lot in it. Because he was looking ahead, and I know Ty touched on it, the looking ahead. Look behind and look ahead. Folk, the only time the Bible calls us to look back, the only time, is to remember what God has done. The devil will try to get you to think back, look back, act back, focus back. And God is saying, no, the only time we look back is to remember what God has done. It's the only time. We always look forward. Always look forward. And we need to look back to remember what God has done. Please go with me to Psalm 106. I want to show you what happens to people that forget what God has done, unfortunately. It's just an example for us to see. Psalm 106. It's an amazing psalm, this. Bible says from verse 10, He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy He redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries, not one of them survived. Verse 12 said, then they believed His promises and sang His praise. Hallelujah. Verse 13, but they soon forgot what God had done. And because they had forgot what He had done, they did not wait for His counsel. When the devil gets us to look back and not remember the faithfulness of God, it's like he steals our affection. And then we struggle to stand and stand firm. So they forgot what they'd done. Then because of that, they did not wait for his counsel. Then they gave into the cravings. And if you carry on reading, then they started to make a calf. Then they exchanged the glory in verse 20 for the image of bull. That's where we give up the eternal for the temporal things. We exchange the glory of God for the temporal things that we can have right now, just the pleasures of sin, because we forgot what God has done. Then the Bible says they forgot God. They didn't only forget what He had done, now they forgot Him completely. And then from there, they just went downhill, unfortunately. It was just a spiral. You can read it. Then they got involved and they yoked themselves to the nations around them. And then they started to worship the gods of the nations around them. And it all started because they forgot what God had done. But the end of the psalm is great. It says, but God, in His mercy, rescued them because they cried out. I encourage you, God will give you memorials. Never forget your memorials. A memorial is like the stones that took out the Jordan River and they put it there and the people asked, what are these for? In the future, this is to remember what God did when this river was in flood and God enabled us to cross this river. You will have memorials in your life. Don't forget your memorials, please. Remember the memorials in your life. Remember the day you got saved. Remember when God gave you a word and it meant so much to you. Amen. It just helps us trust God for the future. I encourage you, don't look back. Other than to remember what He's done. The next thing that struck me there was they persevered because they saw Him who is invisible. I mean, there's such a lot in there and time, spend a lot of time of it. But when God captures our heart, when He captures our heart, when I see Him who is invisible, He captures my heart. My heart becomes His. You with me? That helps me to persevere. I only persevere because I've seen something of who God is or something in His Word that has gripped me. And that gives me the perseverance through the trials and tribulations. I was speaking to a couple this morning. I was having breakfast with them. And they were just telling me some of the stuff they had been through. And the only thing that had got them through to where they are is because they know God has called them. Fuck, that's the only thing that gets us through sometimes. Because God has called. Because God had spoken. Amen. The Let him capture our hearts afresh again. Everything else falls into its place thereafter. And the last thing, because I really do want to spend some time is pray, is the Bible says Moses kept the Passover. What is that for us today? You can see it up there. Do the basics well. That was a basic thing. Do the basics well. Preach the gospel to yourself every single day. I encourage you. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Don't be afraid to go through the basics. Don't be afraid to get into the basics. Don't be afraid to revisit the basics of Christianity and keep them cemented in you and cemented in you and cemented in you. We all know, even these big athletes, that when they all go back to basic training and they do the basics every time, every season. They just go through the basics afresh and anew. And sometimes we feel like, no, we've moved on from the basics. No, we've never moved on from the basics. We've never moved on from the understanding the elementary truths in Hebrews 6 of faith and repentance from dead works and baptisms. Baptisms. What is that about? Baptisms. We need to have that stuff in us. The basics. You understand what I'm saying? The laying on of hands. What does the Bible say about laying on of hands? When are we allowed to, in the New Testament, lay on hands? We need to get that stuff in. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Don't be afraid to revisit the basics. I encourage you. And then lastly, walk with gratitude in your heart. You know all this. And I believe these are some of the things that will just help position us for the next season that God wants us to get. Just position it. And He'll take us into the next season. He really will. He'll take, because that's what He's promised this week. There's a fresh season coming. There's a new season coming. My wife sent me an email today, and this is what she said. I didn't tell her about the words coming. She's like, Nicole, she said, who's there, what's happening, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So she sent me this today. She said, for tonight, I felt God is going to do two things mainly. One is breaking off, be it oppression, sickness, hurt, pain, exhaustion. The other was releasing into, be it calling, anointing, new season, whatever. I feel for a lot of people there's a season change. It might be stepping into that new dimension, a new realm. And that's what God has been saying to us. Amen. That's what He wants to do. By faith, believe it. Believe it. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've been through, believe it. God wants to do it because God has said it through I don't know how many people, through the songs, through just the words that have come again and again and again and again. There's a new season coming for many people, whatever that means for every individual. And please, I encourage you, don't in your mind think this is what it's going to look like. Let God take you into it as He chooses you to take it in. Amen. So we want to pray for people tonight. If you believe God has spoken to you while you've been here, and you believe, God, there's a new season for me, whatever it means to you, it can mean many things to different people, whatever you feel it is, we would love to pray for you. Not because we have it all, but it's just good to stand with people and pray with them. To maybe lay hands on them. Trust God to shift something, do something. But also understand, folk, walk in the truth that He's revealing. Take some of the truth. Let go some things. I left one of them out. God is calling us to let some things go and drop some things off. That's what was Campbell's mind. Amen. Just to let some things go. Take that truth. What's helped me profusely is the three things. The blood cleanses. And the blood is forever cleansing. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews 9. The Spirit of God equips, anoints, sets free, sets captives free. That's what the anointing of God does. But what builds our life, what we stand on, what we walk in, is the truth. You can't walk in the anointing of what God did in your life 3 weeks ago. You walk in the truth. Why am I saying that? Because when God ministers to you tonight, get the truth inside you. Get the word inside you. Get established in your sonship. Get established in the word that God has been bringing to you. Get established in it. That's what I'm encouraging. Because that's going to carry you into the new season. Amen.